Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with ONB e-Government and Information Technology Administrator Karen Evans. Also joining us in our conversation is Sean Dagg. Karen, can you start off by telling our listeners a little bit about the President's e-Government initiatives?
Sure, I'd be happy to talk about those. In 2001, the President proposed 24 common solutions in his budget. We call them the e-Government initiatives. They're broken off into four portfolios. We have a government-to-citizen portfolio, a government-to-government, government-to-business, and an internal efficiency portfolio. So those initiatives are broken out within those, and then we also have one cross-cutting initiative that deals with authentication. Some of the highlights that we have here are things such as govbenefits.gov, which Sean had the opportunity to work with us. He might want to talk a little bit about that during Katrina. And currently, right now, the way that that works is all our federal benefits are located at one site. And we also now are working with state and local governments and having their benefits available, too. And we just celebrated the fourth anniversary of that particular initiative, where we opened up a new tool there where caseworkers can go on and see what's available to a citizen, to people that they need to help service. And so the intent is that you don't have to know how the government is structured, but that you have to know what kind of services, so to speak, that you want. So you want benefits. You would go to GovBenefits, you would put in certain criteria about yourself, and then it would come up and tell you all the different federal programs that potentially you could be eligible for. We also have another initiative called e-rulemaking. That particular initiative really allows the public to interact with the federal government on proposed rules. So, as you know, we have several rules that we would have out there. We normally publish through the Federal Register, and you have to really know how the whole process of the federal government works. Well, in this particular case now, what you can do is just go to regulations.gov. I mean, that makes sense. And then you can see all the proposed regulations that are out there, and if you choose to comment, you can comment, and then you can see the status of where they are. We have another one which is very popular called grants.gov. Again, this is not having to know how the federal government is structured, but know that, gosh, I want to see what kind of grant opportunities are available that I could potentially apply for. So all our grant opportunities are located at grants.gov, and we are now working with the agencies to ensure that their applications are also posted there. So we have 63% of the applications now also available. So you can see what's available and then apply for the grant at that same location. And we have several more. I mean, I could go on. I'll 24 of these have very specific goals and milestones to increase usage so that we're improving the citizen services.
Excellent. Can you tell us a little bit about the federal enterprise architecture and how this will contribute to government-wide improvement?
Well, this is a very exciting tool. This is actually a framework for us to use and for all the agencies to use. It's composed of five models. It has five supporting models. It's the performance model, business, service, technical, and data. Now, we use this framework, ONB uses the framework itself, to be able to analyze across the federal government as a whole. So what we try to do is come up with potential areas where we can ensure that there's collaboration. What we can do is gain efficiencies from looking at this. We can see what all the agencies think that they should be doing to support the president's priorities. And then the other thing that's really very exciting is we can reduce redundancies that help the agencies implement services faster. All of this we're doing across the government, but then the agencies all do their own analysis internally with their enterprise architectures that align to the federal enterprise architecture.
Now, you mentioned reduce inefficiencies and duplication. How are you addressing capital planning and security issues as well as you expand the e-government?
Well, we also have profiles that overlay onto these models. So we have a security profile and a privacy profile. The thought behind that, before I get into specifically about capital planning and how we do some other activities, is that one of the big debates as we were going forward with this is, should you have a separate model that deals just specifically with security or privacy? But what we decided was you have to think about each of those through everything that you do. So from the inception of a particular service all the way through implementation, you want to take into consideration the security and the privacy of that information and that investment. So from a capital planning perspective, what we do is we work with the agencies to ensure that they have a good, robust planning process in place using these tools. And what we do is we assess their enterprise architecture efforts and the process that they have in place that they're using that dovetails into what we call traditional capital planning. So you would look at that. We try to get all our guidance and all our feedback out to the agencies before they actually start their own cycle. So we can't do it on our time. We actually are on what we would call agency time. And so the agencies really go through right now preparing for the 07 cycle. They're working on that right now. And so if we want to affect that as they're making their decisions, we have to get all our information out to them in like the March timeframe, which is what we do. Then my team and myself included, we go out and individually visit the agencies and talk to them directly about what they're doing in order to help them prepare as they do their own analysis through the summer, because that's the agency cycle time. They would do their analysis, look at their enterprise architecture, look at their investments coming up from their field structure, and then make recommendations to their secretary, all in preparation to submit that budget to us in September. That's really where we get to see, gosh, did we do a good job in giving the agencies the instruction, the feedback, those types of things, to see what comes into us so that then we start the cycle of analysis and preparing for the President's 07 budget.
Now, you mentioned the security and privacy of information. How are you also involved in protecting the security of the nation's technology assets?
Well, one of my responsibilities is also the Federal Information Security Management Act, or what we finally call FISMA. So I'm going to start using FISMA through this conversation. But we had several activities that we were doing. That law was also passed along with the E-Government Act. And so I do an annual report where we analyze all this information coming forward. What we also do is we track this information on the President's management agenda. There's an expanded e-government criteria initiative on the scorecard. It's one of five on the scorecard going forward. And what that really is about is how an agency manages overall the internal management, of which you use information technology to enable this. So I'm going to step back before I specifically answer your question and talk a little bit about how the President's management agenda works. There's five elements. We have the human capital element, financial improvement, competitive sourcing, expanding e-government, and budget and performance integration. So I view mine as an enabler to really get to the ultimate of budget and performance integration, which is talking about achieving results for the taxpayers' dollars. So what would be success for us in the IT world is program success. So to get to your question about security and privacy, you have to make sure that people have confidence and trust in that information and what you're doing. So we have put into place several different things going forward, measuring systems, certifications and accreditations of systems. We have several criteria and metrics that we measure through the implementation of the FISMA Act. But then what we also did was, as we got all this data in, we noticed that there's a lot of things that agencies do in common. So we launched what we call a line of business activity. So now we're coming full circle back to the federal enterprise architecture. There's several lines of business if you look at the business reference model, and this one actually goes across all of them, is the security. So we launched a cybersecurity line of business. And that was looking at all the different activities that agencies are doing. And then the way a line of business works is we try to come up with what is common across all the agencies. How can we leverage our requirements? How can we ensure a certain level of commonality and standardization and then also enhance the mission that the agency is doing at the same cost, if not lower. So I would be have to be true OMB person here and say at the same cost, if not lower. So with the cybersecurity line of business, what that did was say, gosh, there's basic things that we all have to do that the law requires, like training, user awareness. So does it really make sense that every agency come up with its own training program? And what we also saw was there was a variance between one agency just sending out an annual email and saying, are you aware of these things? Click here, to another agency requiring their employees to take 40 hours worth of training. So we wanted to raise security. We wanted to raise awareness. And that's an area where we think there's a lot of commonality. So we're moving forward defining what that means. We're going to use initiatives that we've already talked about through the President's 24 initiatives. There's a Go Learn, an e-learning initiative where we can leverage those resources and ensure that there's a standardization, a minimum level of security across the board here. So there's several things that we're doing in those areas. We're continuing to look at that. There's four common areas that they identified. This interagency task force, it dealt with training, reporting, incident response, and then the ability to analyze the data, so common tools. So it's not necessarily bringing everybody together in a what we would call a shared service center approach, but giving people the ability to manage the risk of their investments and ensuring the security of their data.
So it sounds like that more than just oversight and standards, you're also an enabler to help get the lessons learned and the best practices from various agencies to each other to protect these assets and as well as implement the best practices.
I view it as our job to facilitate what the agencies need to accomplish their mission. And if we do it right, then we would be ahead of the game and be very proactive. Oversight kind of comes at the very end, and I look at it as us looking to see how well did we actually listen to the requirements coming from the agencies. It's really about, and if you look at what the President's management agenda is about and what my boss, Clay Johnson, is about, is we are successful when the agencies are successful. And so it's making sure that the agencies have what they need in order to accomplish the priorities and the missions for those agencies.
Great. Karen, could you just share briefly for us some information about your role on the National Capital Area's First Responder Initiative?
Okay. Well, that is actually dealing with specifically I'm going to talk about – I'm going to give you another acronym, so I'll say it out loud, which is Homeland Security Presidential Directive 12. And what that is dealing specifically with our identification cards and making sure that what we are doing in that partnership and that model and what has happened there is the ability to use these identification cards and validate that people are who they are and that the cards actually interoperated and that they worked. So what we are doing through this initiative is that not just within the capital region, but actually what HSPD 12, and that's what it's fondly called with all the federal agencies, is that the security is enhanced for the federal agencies. This particular directive, the President was very clear about what he would like for us to do, what he wanted us to accomplish in the time period that he did. It's a very simple concept. But what it's about is if I am a federal government employee at Agency A and they have validated that I am, that same information should be applicable when I go to Agency B instead of Agency B having to revalidate everything. So what we have done under this is we have established a minimum standard of what that security validation is for a federal government employee and contractors. And the second phase of this then is issuing the credential associated with that, or what you would call, you know, building access pass is probably the easiest way for people to really visualize this, so that my government ID works at Agency A. And if I'm authorized to have access at Agency B, that same card will work. So, again, this is coming up with a common solution. implementing it across the government, leveraging those resources and gaining efficiencies from those instead of me having to have six cards issued to me.
Right, right. Concept is easy. Execution is hard.
It's hard. Execution is hard. But I will tell you that the agencies are on track for this. And our due date is October of this year for the first HSPD-12 compliant cards to be issued by the agencies. And right now, I'm happy to say we're on track and we are meeting our plans.
Excellent. How is OMB supporting the Lines of Business Initiative? We will ask OMB e-government and information technology administrator Karen Evans to explain this to us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.